Does God have desires? Andre Snidar. Question. This? He wanted us to need him, long for him, and love him freely. Doesn't ring true to me. I may be missing something, but this seems off, scripture-wise. Does the sovereign have wants when he created everything after the counsel of his own will? DT's answer. Job 14:15 states, Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. KJV. You shall call, and I shall answer you. You shall long for the work of your hands. CV. This verse came to mind as I considered your question. God does have a desire for his work to be accomplished, that the Logos, which he purposed before this world came into existence, will culminate in the eventual redemption of his whole creation at the consummation. Yet God planned the work of evil until that point. An example, perhaps a weak one, is when an architect draws up plans for some grand work. He creates drawings, outlines design specifications, lists requirements for materials, etc. During the process, he knows that his plan will be accomplished. Nevertheless, he desires to see the fulfillment of his work. Our Father is compassionate about his plan for the reconciliation, redemption, restoration, and ultimate joy that will be experienced in that day. Look for the many verses that talk about his compassion. Any parents who have children know that their children's life as a baby, through childhood until they mature to the point to take care of themselves and pursue their own plans, will experience pain, sickness, heartache, and trials, and this greatly affects the parents, they suffer as well. Yet they look forward to that point of their children's life when the goal has been accomplished. This speaks to their love and compassion for their children. So, it is with our Father. He is not some cold, unfeeling deity, but his compassion and love for us is what drives his desire for the completion of his plans. Also, since we are created in his image, as we have passions and desires, we are reflections of him, albeit temporarily in the form of our flawed vessels. It's not surprising to read in the scriptures of his passions and desires. Finally, consider Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, KJV. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for you, and am filling up in my flesh, in his stead, the deficiencies of the afflictions of Christ for his body, which is the Ecclesia, CLV. What a wonderful truth this is. I used to think that Christ's suffering was done, finished. But when I realized the truth of this verse, that Christ has yet more suffering to accomplish, and that it's being fulfilled via our sufferings, and really all of creation, as he is the head over all, what a truly grand calling we have. This speaks to the one body being the complement, pleroma, i.e., the completing, fulfilling, of Christ, and then all of creation, and even God, since all came out of him. While it is strange to think that Christ and his Father need anything, the realization of this concept provides a tremendous anticipation, hope, expectation, and appreciation for the time when God will be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Yes, even God our Father is suffering as well, looking to the consummate fulfillment of his plan, when all of creation will finally be released from the bondage of corruption into the enjoyment of the full, ultimate, joyful liberty in praise of their awesome God, Creator and Father.